we're back. Leslie Marshall here. Welcome or welcome back to the only true democracy in talk radio of, for, and by you, the people, live nationwide, streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. My buddy Mark Levine sitting in for me tomorrow night, as he sometimes does, which is very nice of him. He's host of his own show in Washington, D.C., the radio talk show called The Inside Scoop. He's also a former congressional attorney. Mark, thank you for holding. Welcome. As they say on the cell phone commercial, can you hear me now?
I hear you. Can you hear me?
Let's talk about the party of no. There are some people, many people that listen to us that are conservatives, that are Republicans,
right,
or independents that have left the Republicans but still have a more conservative ideology. How did the Republican Party become the party of no? And, you know, how has this changed, especially in the past year, since a Democrat took office as president?
Well, let me first of all convince anyone who may question whether or not the Republican Party is the party of no, because there's some who may doubt it. And I think the fairest way to judge it is whether the Republicans are voting no on things they themselves support. See, a party that's interested in working with another party to do things for America would, at the very least, vote on things that they themselves support, while a party that's hoping that the country fails and brings Obama down with it and the Democrats down with it would choose to vote against things they themselves support. What we've seen is consistently over the past year, and amazingly so and increasingly so, Republicans have been voting against things they themselves support. And I'll give you a few examples. There was a vote to fund the troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Republicans voted no. Every one of them voted no on that. And then when the Democrats got past the filibuster threat, they then voted yes on that. On the question of extension of unemployment insurance, every single Republican, including so-called moderates like Olympia Snowe or Susan Collins, voted 2-1 against extending unemployment insurance. Then once the filibuster ended and once the Democrats forced a vote on the issue, the vote was 98-0 for that bill. Most recently, in terms of stopping the deficit, Republicans claim to be fiscal conservatives. They claim to be worried about the deficit. So the Democrats, President Obama put forward a commission on a bill proposed by two Republicans, including Senator Gregg from New Hampshire. And Mitch McConnell, the majority leader of the Republicans, had this idea for a long time to have a commission to fight budget deficits. They were co-sponsors of the bill. They drafted the bill. They voted no on their own bill. So you find the Republicans voting no even on things they themselves support because they want to establish a precedent that you always need 60 votes on every piece of legislation that passes the government. The trouble with that is that we haven't had the Republican Party having enough votes to defeat a Democratic filibuster since 1923. So the precedent the Republicans are establishing is a precedent of shutting the government down in, well, about 95% of all years of American history.
So when we look at this, Mark, it's not just a cute catchphrase. You're mentioning facts that back this up. Is this because the Republicans collectively, or the overwhelming majority, unless you can name a few for me, care more about their party than they do their people? And I say this because constantly I hear, I went through this last night on TV on America's Nightly Scoreboard and Fox Business Channel, and we had some Tea Party guy going, you know, the president's not listening to the people. The people don't want health care reform. Mark, I feel like I was smoking crack or I need to start, because the polls clearly have shown all along people do want health care reform. They don't want the health care plan the Senate has because it doesn't include a public option. Now, recently people may not want health care reform, or maybe the Tea Party people don't want health care reform. But, you know, is this the misinformation, the lies that the right is spreading that goes along with the party of no concept?
Well, I think those are two separate issues. The first issue is whether Republicans are putting their party ahead of their country. And it's actually very clear that every single Republican senator, including so-called moderates like Olympia Snowe, is putting their party ahead of their country. How do we know? Because they're voting against things they themselves support. Why would anyone vote against something that you support? It doesn't make sense. We have time after time after time, the Republicans want Obama to fail and want it so badly. They're willing to deny body armor to our troops, which supposedly Republicans support. They're willing to deny, for example, measures to cut the budget, which cut spending, which supposedly Republicans support, and they're even willing to vote against their own bills. So it's absolutely clear that every single Republican senator is a hypocrite, or at least puts their party above their country. The second issue about health care reform is very interesting because polls dramatically show that if you look at each aspect of health insurance reform that President Obama wants, each aspect is supported by a large majority of the American people. You mentioned the public option. That's supported by a majority of the American people. The main thing that's left in the Senate proposal, which has some bad things in it, I agree, that I think could be fixed by the House, is to say that you can't be dropped from insurance coverage just because you're sick. Many people know one of the best ways for health insurance companies to make money is to charge you premiums while you're well, and then the moment you get cancer, cut you off. That gives them a profit because treating sick people, as we all know, is what damages health care insurance profits. They make much more money by only serving healthy people and letting sick people die or go on their own or go on, you know, financial assistance and so forth. So that's something that some of the 80% of Americans support the main proposal of Obama's bill. But most people don't know what's in the bills. And if you look at it and you just look at a lot of rhetoric, well, that's where you get the Tea Party activists.
Interesting. Let's take some calls. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543 is the number. And, Mark, I thought it was just a lot of people out of work that need something to do. Let's go to Dave in let's go to Dave in Buffalo. Good evening, Dave. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Leslie. It's been far, far too long since you were my car companion at noontime here in Buffalo. But I'm glad to talk to you now. Listen, on point, I really think that there's an awful lot of disgruntled Americans from the left, right, and center, liberal, conservative, alike, that are looking at this gridlock in Congress caused by the filibuster or even the prospect of a filibuster, and we're just plain disgusted. Now, isn't it high time that we actually think about forming a grassroots coalition to call for a constitutional convention for an amendment to finally, once and for all, ban the use of the filibuster? Because frankly, I don't think
although it's a great idea, it's not very realistic. It's never going to happen. What do you think, Mark?
Well, here's the thing. To pass a constitutional amendment, you need to...
Wait. Let him finish. Let him finish. Go ahead, Dave. Finish up there. I'm sorry.
I think the same thing could have been said for any one of the other amendments to our Constitution. If we don't try, it's never going to happen. If we try, at least there's a possibility of it.
Here's the answer, Dave. To pass a constitutional amendment, you need two-thirds of the Senate, two-thirds of the House, and three-quarters of the state legislatures. To end the filibuster rule, all you need is two-thirds of the Senate. So if you have two-thirds of the Senate willing to pass a constitutional amendment, then clearly two-thirds of the Senate can end their own filibuster rule, and then you don't need the House, and you don't need the state legislatures. So really, in order, a constitutional amendment requires extra steps that only a simple vote of the Senate, two-thirds, of course, to change the rules could do. So I totally agree
with you, but it's not going to come from within the walls of the Congress because, let's face it, they have a vested interest in party politics.
I think it can, and I'll be talking tomorrow at length on all the ways I think we can fight it. The short answer, part of it really is simply education, letting the American people know what's going on, giving some statistics that I'm giving, and calling people out. I think President Obama needs to be more aggressive, and I'll tell you the person I think who should take this role is the President of the Senate, and that's Vice President Joe Biden. I'm going to talk at length about this tomorrow, but I think as the constitutional President of the Senate, that Joe Biden, who's been in the Senate for, I don't know, 30, 40 years, a very, very long time, can call them out and do things that kind of keeps the president above the fray. That's my proposal. And actually rule on some parliamentary close decisions to, in effect, in-house overturn the filibuster.
Well, all right. And I hope that sort of effort works.
I do too, but I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a naysayer here. I just don't think it's going to happen. We'll take a break. We'll be back if you're holding hang tight. We are going to talk with you, agree or disagree, with me and my guest. Are the Republicans, or have the Republican Party become the party of no? And, you know, folks, what do you do with a party How do you stop a political party determined to shut the government down? And that's what Republicans are determined to do right now. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. And we're back. Leslie Marshall here. Welcome or welcome back. Good evening, America. Mark Levine is my guest, host of the Washington, D.C. radio talk show, The Inside Scoop, also a former congressional attorney. Mark, by the way, can be heard at his website, www.radioinsidescoop.com. He also will be sitting in for me tomorrow night. He's a good friend, and we're talking about the party of no. Honestly, if you're a Republican, maybe you even feel that way, or a conservative. Maybe that's why you left. A lot of people have left the Republican Party, more than the Democrats, but a lot of Democrats have left also. Independent, growing bigger and bigger. You want to run as an independent? I'm saying in the next 5 to 10 years, that's the way to go. What do you think, Mark? And we got to take some calls here. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Tons of calls talking about this tonight, and very excited about that. Hey, Mark, what's your night like? You got a date, or could I be your date maybe in the next hour?
I was specifically talking about Senator Richard Shelby of Alabama. So I would love to go into the next hour.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we'll do that. Marky Mark, Chris, you all thumbs up on that? Because, you know, we're just on fire. You can't buy a phone call, although we do take checks. Make it out to the legend. No, I'm just joking. All right, let's get to it. And we go to Bernie in Fredericksburg, Virginia, where I got a speeding ticket years ago. Hi, Bernie. How you doing?
Pretty good. That's terrible. Okay.
I paid it. It was a big one, though, man.
Oh, boy. It's terrible.
I was guilty, though. But I got to tell you, Bernie, what a hot looking state trooper you had there.
Okay, Bernie. Anyway, you know, we do better to serve God rather than man.
We serve God better than we serve man. Yeah, but even, you know what, I don't want to get into a religion here, but Bernie, since you brought it up, even God says give to Caesar what is Caesar's, you know, so there is definitely, even in biblical times, even in the time of Christ, Christ himself did follow what the government did and did, I believe, based on the writings in both the Old and the New Testament, you know, there was a belief, I think, between there's the government, you live by the laws of the land, and then there is God's laws, which to me clearly outlines that I think God gives a high five to separation of church and state. Bernie, thank you for the call there in Fredericksburg. Appreciate it. Let's go to Andy in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Hi, Andy. Good evening.
Good evening, Leslie. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Okay. Talking about the Republicans being the party of no, I don't really get. I mean, the president needed a Republican vote to get his budget passed when he first got in. He got it. You know, and it's only been up until recently that the Republicans had a 41st vote to where they could stop anything. So, you know.
Andy, can I give you an example? I want to know what you think about it.
Andy, we're going to go back and forth and let you have your time, too. But Mark Levine, my guest, wanted to respond to what you said by the Republican vote to get a budget.
Yeah, let me give you an example. I want to know what you think about it. Richard Shelby, senator from Alabama, has said he will not vote to approve any of Barack Obama's nominees, no matter how liberal, no matter how conservative, no matter what position they're going to hold, until he gets a hefty amount of pork for Alabama. Specifically, he wants his campaign contributor, Northrop Grumman, to get a federal contract, even though Boeing has the cheaper contract for taxpayers. So he wants taxpayers to pay off his corporation, the one that pays for his campaigns, Northrop Grumman, and until he does that, he's going to shut the government down. Now, his entire party is standing with him and saying, give pork to Senator Richard Shelby, or that's it. You can't have anybody in your government. And I want to know if you agree with the Republican Party in saying that Richard Shelby's pork, which would cost taxpayers billions of dollars, is more important than doing the cheaper bid, the bid that for Boeing.
Well, I didn't agree that $100 million for Louisiana, $300 million for the other senator to begin to get the health care bill passed was right either. So
do you know why that was done?
Tit for tat.
Do you know why that was done? The reason that was done is because the Republicans presented a united face on health care. None of them were willing to negotiate. In fact, President Obama just this week said, I want to go into a proposal where we sit and have a commission. We can do it openly. We can do it privately. Where we sit and talk, and you tell me what I need to do to get you to sign the health bill. Not a single Republican was willing to sit down with the president and discuss fixing our health insurance system. So because he couldn't get a single Republican, he had to buy off some of the Democrats. And I'll tell you this, the one thing Democrats are consistent on is if the Republicans will lift the filibuster, they will get rid of the Nebraska benefit and Louisiana benefit. But the Republicans are refused to pass anything. That's the problem. That's the reason why we have that in the first place.
Well, I would agree with you that refusing to pass anything is wrong. But I would also say, you know, we've seen a lot of similar things out of the Democratic Party, and we didn't need to, all right?
Actually, we haven't, Andy. If you look at it, it's interesting. The last time the Republicans had enough votes to stop a filibuster was 1923. Okay? Now, the Democrats have, since 1923, dealt with many majority Republican governments. They never once said, we won't pass anything unless you know, have a supermajority. Never once.
Okay. I got to go. I'm driving and I'm in a little bit of a traffic thing, but thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. We go to Phil in Danbury, Connecticut. Hey, Phil, good evening. Question or comment on the topic with our guest, Mark Levine. Good evening.
Hi, Leslie. Hi, Mark. Yeah,
hey.
I'm a Republican, a conservative Republican, and I don't mind the characterization of party, even though, because the agenda is very different than what the Republicans stand for in terms of cap-and-trade, card check bill, and, of course, the health care bill. So I think the party is standing strong against what they perceive, whether you agree with it or not, a very radical socialist-type agenda that I don't think the majority of Americans want. And I think that some Democrats are rather thankful that there's a 60 or 41st vote now in the Senate for Republicans, because it gives them cover now to stand up against the hard-left leadership of the party.
Dan, why are the Republicans voting against things they themselves support? Why are they voting against?
And by the way, Phil, you had more Democratic leadership, except for the president, in the House and the Senate during the Bush administration. So what is this far left thing? I mean, that's where I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid. I don't get that. I mean, are people aborting fetuses in the street or something? I mean, I don't get it. Are people smoking pot in the street, or are gay people, having sex and getting married and adopting children in the street? I mean, what's this immoral thing we're looking at?
The card check legislation.
That labor bill hasn't even come.
The takeover of the healthcare.
Yeah, Mark, thank you. Mark, chime in on this. Excuse me, Phil.
Yes.
What legislation?
The card check legislation.
That's a proposal that hasn't even been voted on.
Right, exactly. So I don't understand how that makes...
No, but that's what they're trying to... That's what they want to bring up.
But, Phil, that is not a... You know what, but, Phil, that hasn't even been voted on, like Mark said, one. And two... Even if it were voted on, because it's not a priority in the House and Senate, because it's not a priority among their constituents at the moment. In case you haven't checked, Bill, we have a huge economic crisis, creating jobs, passing health care reform. Those are things America elected President Obama to do, and those are things they sent people in Washington to go to get done.
Well, I think the Democrat, my congressman is a Democrat. And I think he's feeling the heat of the constituents, you know, calling his phone lines 80% against this health care bill.
Well, let me ask you, do you agree that we need health insurance reform, or are you okay with the fact that our health insurance premiums double every 10 years and that now it's one-sixth of the entire economy? Are you okay with that? Because I'm not.
The question, unfortunately, presumes that you know what the health insurance should cost.
Well, I know that it's cheaper in every other industrialized nation, and they live longer. And I also know that my parents who are on Medicare pay less than what I do and get better care.
Yeah, but the Medicare is funded by Medicare premiums don't come near to covering the claims.
All right, let me ask you this.
We are out of time, guys. Phil, thank you for your call. Guys, stop arguing. Phil, thank you for your call. Mark's going to be here tomorrow night, all 3 hours live. Mark Levine, so check him out, sitting in for me, Leslie Marshall, tomorrow night right here, same bat time, same bat channel. Don't go away. 8886-LESLIE. You can also listen to the live stream if you don't get hours 2 or 3 at your radio station at LeslieMarshallShow.com. We'll be back right after this.